You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
I feel so now. Okay, yeah, I feel a little bit better. I feel all right now. All right, yeah. I feel...
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes, the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister, Leandria, here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me. Lord, deliver me. 'Cause all I see to do is hurt me.
Yes, sir.
Hurt me.
I know we should be finishing, but take it from me two more times.
Thank you. the Mind, Body, and Soul Show with Big Joe. I'm your host, Big Joe, right here on We Talk Radio, sitting in with B-Ray. I got a good friend of mine, Pastor Marcus Harris, a Fresh All Worship Center. Pastor Harris, are you with me?
Amen, amen. I'm with you, brother.
How are you doing today, sir?
Wonderful. Can't complain, Doc. God is good.
I got a little echo coming in somewhere.
Yeah, here it is.
Pastor Harris, if you don't mind, give us your contact information.
All right, Fresh Oil Worship Center, 2638 North Edgewood Terrace, Fort Worth, Texas. Amen. That's where we are located. I've been there going on 5 years, and so we're on the conference line. Amen. That number is 712-832-8328, and the passcode is 118-0650 pound sign. Amen. We're on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11 o'clock worship. Wednesday night we have service on Wednesday night and prayer midnight Friday night. And we've been having a blessed time. We are connected with people even in Nigeria and South Africa on Friday nights as the prayers go up. Man, I'm telling you, it's a powerful time in prayer we have at midnight on Friday night. So we bless the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Harris, if you don't mind, we're going to hear one more song real quick, and then we're going to get into our whole conversation of the night.
All right. That'll work.
All right. Thank you. B-Ray, what you got for me?
My career, my relationships, my mental state wasn't so clear. Losing everything that I will put my effort near. And me wondering to myself, was something wrong with me when I knew my heart wasn't here? So I started thinking to myself, concluded there was something else.
Blood of Jesus. blood of Jesus. I plead the 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 blood of Jesus.
Welcome, mind, body, and soul, right here on We Talk Radio. I am your host, Big Joe, sitting in with good friend of mine. Some would even say we're more than friends. Some would even call us family, almost. Pastor Harris, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm here.
Pastor, can you give us your contact information one more time.
Amen, amen. Fresh Oil Worship Center, 2638 North Edgewood Terrace, Fort Worth, Texas. Amen. Our conference line call is on Sunday morning, 9:30 at Sunday school, 11 o'clock morning worship, Wednesday night prayer, and we go into the Word on Wednesday nights, and as well as prayer meeting on Friday night, midnight. And we're connected with people over in South Africa as well. We also have a school over there, Fresh Oil School, over in Nigeria. And so we bless the Lord for even that. And then we pray to the Lord, let us go. Amen. And so that's Friday night. And that contact number is 712-832-8328. And the passcode is 118-0650. #. Amen.
Pastor Harris, I want to have a conversation with you about the rebellious mind, or not the rebellious mind, but the reprobate mind. I'm sorry, I don't know where the rebellious comes from.
Same thing, almost.
Help us out with that. What is a reprobate mind? The word says that God will lead you over to a reprobate mind. What is a reprobate mind? We got into it a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but I don't think we really scratched the surface of what the actual definition of a reprobate mind is. What is a reprobate mind?
Hey, man, well,
And what does it mean to be left to a reprobate mind?
Okay, a reprobated mind, according to the word, is a mind that does not like to retain God in their knowledge. And that's a mind that's to be God himself over to a reprobated mind. And you said, what else that state? Being left in that state is being left to themselves. And so you become your own God. There are scriptures that talk about they become lovers of themselves. And so we got to know that when God himself turns a person over to that mindset, that person is in that place. And it will take God to get them out. So there's no way out. And according to Google, according to Google's definition of reprobate, it says a sinner who is not of the elect and is predestined to damnation. That's what a reprobate is, according to Google, and which is a real true statement, because once you turn over, you're predestined for damnation unless God, amen, delivers you and sets you free from that mindset that you're in. Amen.
Help us out a little bit more with that.
Help you out with a little bit more. Okay. All right. Let's look at, let's go to Isaiah 1. Let's go to Isaiah, the first chapter. Yeah, let's look at this, Isaiah. You want a little bit more. Brother Joe got that. Brother Joe got a sponge mind. He's ready to absorb everything that it, that he can get. Am I right, Brother Joe?
I'm trying. I'm trying to.
Amen. That's what we should do to retain the knowledge of God. Okay, let's see. Is that it? Let's see. Okay, let's look at the Isaiah, the first chapter. And the third verse says, "An ox knoweth his owner and as his master's crib, but Israel do not know. My people do not consider." And so what God is saying to us is that people do not consider him. They don't consider to even know who he is. And so without that knowledge of who God is, it's like you're in a place of putting God beneath you or beneath anything that you put above God. And so you look at even Romans, the first chapter, there's a lot of deep things in Romans talking about the mindset of the people. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans, the first chapter. Let's begin at the 18th verse. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." Amen. "Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Okay, so they're holding the truth of God in an unrighteous way. It said, "Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So we're looking at the handiwork of God. We're looking at the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the heaven. You're looking at everything that God made, the trees, the grass, the animals. You see a deity. You see a divine power. You know that God exists. So many people are without excuse. And so they have the knowledge of God is being seen on a daily basis. And God knows how to talk to his creation. And then the 21st verse says, it says, "Because that they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain." This is one thing, in their imaginations. It became vain in their imaginations. Now, y'all got to get this down and understand what this is coming from. They get vain imaginations, people, and their hearts, their foolish heart was darkened. And so, without retaining God in the knowledge, without acknowledging him as God, things happen. I mean, look at the days of Noah and then the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. And in those days, this is what he's really pertaining to in our time as we speak now. The things that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was the people's heart was darkened. And even Lot vexed his righteous soul because of the sin of that city, those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And their hearts were darkened, and they had vain imaginations, even in Noah's day. You remember his uncle or Methuselah or whoever, of that time, their minds were darkened. And so they was eating and drinking. Just like he said, in the days of Lot, in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that in our time as well. And so that time is even up on us now. Even professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And so you got a lot of wise people, who think they're wise, but they became fooled because they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. Look at the scientists and look at the atheists of the day. They rather be atheists to believe something like even the religions and all of the doctrines that are coming forth of man. The God of the universe. Amen. Y'all know what I'm saying. The God of the universe. Well, I don't serve the God of the universe. I serve the God who created the universe. Amen. So we got to understand the difference. And they said, "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." So now we're talking about idols. We're talking about them. They rather make themselves gods, okay, to create a knowledge of a deity that they created with their hands. So they create a knowledge. Just think about all of the things that the amen. I don't downtrod religions because it is what it is. That's what they call it. You got Buddha. They worship a Buddha doll or whatever the case may be, or cabbage or whatever they're worshiping. They create these things to worship, and they create a religion behind what they make with their own hands. And so they bring their own knowledge into play, who God is and who that deity is, instead of the God who that created all mankind. So they don't want to retain that God of their knowledge. They want to rather make one and retain that knowledge of that God that they created with their hands. So let's go look up. Is that all right? Am I talking?
I'm
gonna take this thing in there. Okay, so 24 says, for wherefore God also gave them up. Now here's now look at the first thing. Let's say that for the individual. Let's look at this. Okay, they changed the glory of God to a corrupt man. This is what happened when their minds is not retaining knowledge. Then it shifts at the 24. It says God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Okay, it's going to get deep right here. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. Mm-hmm. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now it shifts again. It says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile afflictions. Vile affections. You know, when you have affection towards somebody, you have affection towards your wife, your girlfriend, your amen. And you have affections. And now these were vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Okay, now you know what I'm talking about now. Don't get all crazy now. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving them in themselves. Listen to what it says. Receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was met. So in other words, you got all of these things that people are turning the truth of God into a lie. They want to turn the truth of God into a lie and say, I was born this way. Wait a minute. What the world are you doing? I better leave that alone. Somebody's going to get mad and throw some rocks. Ooh, help me up in here, John. I mean, but look at what we twist the word of God to make it sound good for us to be in the sins that we're in. Go ahead. I can listen. Go ahead.
Now, this is a hard question I got to ask. Because somebody asked me this question a couple of weeks ago, and it's a hard question because it puts on the concept of being able to think a little bit of the way God would feel. How do you think God would feel about those of us that take bits and pieces of the scriptures and not the whole Bible, try to live accordingly only to those in particular parts, but disregarding the others? Those that remembering that, hey, I don't steal, but I commit adultery.
You're talking about adding to and taking away. That's what you're saying.
I guess that would be in a way.
Well, people take what they want to take out of the Bible. I mean, you got religions that are based on certain things in the Bible, you know, and really become cultic because of the things that they leave out. They leave out, they're still going away from the knowledge of God to create their own knowledge or their own religion, and they take the word of God and they twist it to their advantage. That's why many make the word of God a none effect, because they take it upon themselves to twist the word. Even Paul was talking about, Peter was talking about Paul and how Paul spoke things that sound crazy to us because they didn't understand. And it said, but men will twist the word of God, unstable wrists is what they call it, and will twist the word of God to to benefit from it. And a lot of times religions do that to try to gain people to, you know, they use the word as access or as a crush to draw people after them. And it's crazy because they take one thing, but they don't believe the next thing. Wait a minute. How are you going to believe God and not believe every word that comes out of the mouth of God? I mean, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. If we believe just the word of God, then we ought to believe everything in it. Amen. It's not bits and pieces. It's the whole roll, the whole scroll. That's what the word says. We got to take the whole thing. Amen. We can't just take bits and pieces of the word and apply it to our lives and say, this is what I'm going to believe. I'm not going to believe that. Then we take into our own powers, hear what everybody else is saying. You know, now a white man wrote the Bible, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know what? I don't care who wrote the Bible, but the word is true. And without the Holy Spirit, you will be led in the wrong direction. And that's why you have to have the Holy Ghost to lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen. And he will guide you into all truth of his word. And when you receive that revelation of that truth, then that truth builds you up, that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. So in other words, every other doctrine that wind blows in your life will not penetrate you. It will not move you. Amen. You will be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, amen. I hope I said something that's going to help somebody right there.
You definitely did. You definitely did. Be right. You got a couple of songs for me lined up real quick. She might be checking lines real quick.
Okay.
Like I told you, we are going to have a few songs as well.
Oh, feels like. I don't care if the enemy tries to make you cry all night. I don't care what they told you, just try to keep your composure. Never mind the size of a mountain standing right before you. But you're ready before I have you. You got your whole armor. Just hold on to your faith. Anybody wanna go? Anybody wanna know how? Anybody trying to be in a victory parade? Let me tell you. Your lights off on Monday, the cell phone's on Tuesday, rent due on Wednesday, trying to call to make an arrangement. Daycare got late fees, cause deadbeats made babies. Never mind the sign on the door that says addiction to me. But you're ready before I have a day. You got your whole armor. Be sober and you never let your guard down. But hold on to the master. In order to win, you have to. You wanna be in V-I-C-T-O-I. Gotta put your game face on, don't be fake, don't go from low to high.
Just call her the name, just call her the name and you'll be fine.
Work it. Any type of situation. He's working. Wow. Tell me he got all gone. Work it. Come on. Work it. Now, seem like everybody else doing so much better than you. Face got it all together. And you're just trying to get through you. Don't say no, but don't. Not last business, this is not a joke. Cause I'm telling you, God, don't come through some soon. I might just don't know.
Big Joe holding it down with B. Ray, Pastor Harris, Pastor Marcus Harris, the Fresh Oil Worship Center. Pastor Harris, you mind giving us your contact information one more time?
Amen. Fresh Oil Worship Center, 2638 North Edgewood Terrace, that's Fort Worth, Texas. But right now we're on a conference line, and the conference line number is 712-832-8328. And the passcode is 118-0650 pound sign. Amen. We bless the Lord. Our services begin on even going tomorrow, beginning at 9:30, and then 11 o'clock morning worship. And then Wednesday night, we have a service on Wednesday night. And then Friday midnight, we have prayer. And we're connected with people over in South Africa and Nigeria. Amen. That we'll be praying at midnight on Friday night. So we bless the Lord for you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank you, Pastor Harris, for coming on tonight. And we were talking about reprobate mind. And
amen.
I'm sure you got something else for me, Pastor. Come on.
Amen. Yeah. We were stopped at the 27th verse. I want to finish out that this chapter, because it's very important that we, as the people of God, and those who are listening in, who have not really understood that what's going on even in our time right now. There are many are being turned over to a reprobate mind and don't even know, because they won't retain God in their knowledge. And God gives us ample amount of time to get it right, because he talks to all of his creation. He talks to every one of us. And so none of us have an excuse to say that I didn't know. None of us will be without an excuse. And so that 28th verse says in Romans 1:28, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient." And then you've got to understand this. It goes into a whole nother arena. He says they being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, and in covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgments of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so we got to understand what happens is that we get so caught up in our own knowledge that we get intoxicated with ourselves. And that's why the Bible talks about it in 2 Timothy 3:2. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Same thing that's over in Romans. The same kind of sins that creeps up in people's life when you turn over. All of these things comes into your life, and you see many people around you have these types of spirits in them. They're responding and reacting to a person that doesn't have their mind. I mean, they don't have the mind of Christ, that's for sure. But they have their own mind. They have their own identity. They become their own deity. And this is what's happening to a lot of people because they want to retain God in their knowledge. And so, my brothers and sisters, it's time to really examine ourselves to know who we are in Christ. Do we really know that our mind, amen, that's what Jesus said, "Let this mind be in you." Amen. The word says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And what was the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was to do the will of the Father. He said, "I come to do one thing, and that's the will of my Father." And he said, "These words I speak, they ain't even mine. They belong to him." And so we got to have the mind of Christ in this hour to even speak the things that God wants us to speak in this time and in this hour. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Talk to me, Big Joe.
I thank you. That did clear it up a little bit, and it gave us a better understanding of what the word says. It also brings in the importance of a prayer life. How important is a prayer life? What is an active prayer life? Is it once a week? Is it daily? What is an active prayer life?
Amen. Well, amen. Active prayer life is praying. Is every day. Is walking in the spirit of prayer, if you want to say it like that. But look at our examples. We have one of Daniel who prayed three times a day. Amen. He looked toward Jerusalem and he prayed. There was all the men of God of that time. They prayed. They heard it, had their time of prayer. They went into the synagogue. They went into the secret places, or they went into the altars. They went to the altars and began to pray and sacrifice unto the Father. the priests who stood in the priesthood of that time, they offered up sacrifices, which is type of prayers, amen, that God honored. And there was some he honored and some he dishonored because of the heart that the men had when they sent up the sacrifice, like the sons of Eli and the things that they done. They was taking the sacrifices and eating them, and they were sleeping with the women. They were doing some of everything. And that's what was tainted or distorted the sacrifices that they sent up, and they were sending up strange fires and all kinds of stuff, you know, because they were in disobedience. And so when you have a prayer life, your prayer life, it shows when you have a prayer life, because God opens up to you and he shows you things, and he begins to speak to you and minister unto you. The word of God begin to come off the pages when you have a prayer life. Even Jesus himself prayed every morning and every evening. I mean, it's in the book. You have to read it. It's there. And then what he tells his disciples, and he tells us as well, is to occupy until he comes. And occupying what? Because Jesus is a mediator. He's mediator between us and God. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying and interceding on our behalf right now. And so what should we be doing? We should be interceding while we're here on the earth. He said, even when he cast out the people from the temple, you know, he cast them out and he said, you have made my Father's house a den of thieves. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. And so prayer is essential. That's why the word says, there's many scriptures that talks about prayer. It said, pray without ceasing. Pray to the pulling down of strongholds. I know you heard of the word push. Pray until something happens. And push. Pray until something happens. That's an acronym for push. Pray until something happens. And God gave me another acronym for that same word, push. Praying under spiritual hostility. And so you got to understand what time you are in. You know, prayer, as I said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He didn't say the man. He said a righteous man. He didn't say righteous woman, even though he's talking to him about a righteous woman as well. But the effectual fervent of a prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so God honors even men in that place of prayer. And a lot of times you don't see men in a prayer life. But when you do, you see a powerful man of God. You see someone that's walking in the Spirit of God, someone that's obeying the Father and doing what the Father says because of prayer. Prayer is essential. We need prayer. Prayer is our daily, our daily bread, is our daily thing to do. Jesus said to his disciples, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. Amen. So prayer is essential, Brother Joe. Any other question about prayer?
The word says we got about 4 minutes left. I'm so sorry. I'm getting ready to wrap it up. I got about 4 minutes left. So, real quick, if you can, then we'll have to finish up this conversation next week. The word says that it becomes prayers become like a sweet incense to his nostrils. Can you explain that? And as soon as you get done, if you don't pray us out tonight.
Okay. Well, prayers that become sweet smelling savor in his nostrils, the prayers of his saints, the prayers of the righteous, the prayer of those that are in his face, because when you seeking the face of God, you're showing God that you want him more than anything on this earth. And there's prayers that I pray to the Father. I said, Father, I love you more than I love my flesh. And so these prayers, when you begin to obey the Father and do the things that God has called you to do, your prayers changes the atmosphere where you are, and it changes the atmosphere, and it has to get past the second heaven. If people are that deep in the word of the Lord, and understanding that we see the first heaven, and then the second heaven is where the war is. Second heaven is where the devil and his angels fighting Michael and his angels, and we're in a constant war, and people don't even know that. We're in a war. Amen. And so if your prayers can get past that, it can come before the Father. And so the more you send up prayer, the more the holes get bigger. Amen, in the spiritual sense. And so the enemy cannot touch your prayers because you have an established prayer life. And the more you pray and get before the Father, the more he smells you. Amen. And so your prayers become a smell before his nostril. Amen. You're in the place of obedience and trusting God and believing God in worship. Everything becomes a fragrance in God's nostrils. Because you become his, you become the apple of his eye. You're his child, you're his son, his daughter. Amen. And so this is how our prayers come before the Father as a sweet-smelling savor. Amen. Just like the incense in the temple, that the priests used to light up, they were the fragrance of the prayers, and they were the fragrance to cover the smell of the burnt meat. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me, of the sacrifices that were made in the temple. And so the fragrance had to come up because of their obedience in doing the sacrifices is why their prayers or the incense became fragrance in the nostril of the Father. And same way as our prayers today, our sacrifices. We have to make sacrifices unto God. Obedience is better then sacrifice. So we bless the Lord on tonight. God bless you, Big Joe. Amen. A word of prayer, and we're going to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for these thy people. We pray, Father, that something has been set up on this line that is going to help your people, take them to the next level of their faith. Father, you said in your word, one plant and one water, but it's you that give the increase. Father, increase what has been planted in water in your people's life on this day. And Father, we ask that you would go with us and above all, keep us in your protective care. Cover us in your blood. Be unto us a wall of fire and be the glory in the midst. Send your angels of protection around us, Lord God, as we go to our designated places. And Lord, we pray for Big Joe, God, in this line that he has. Lord God, we pray for this conference, this talk, the talks that we have. Let them be beneficial in the lives of your people. And Father, we thank you for new ideas and new categories and new subjects that Big Joe is going to come up with, Father, in this season. And Father, we just thank you for touching our sister, that's the DJ, touching her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, sending healing in her body, and those that are on the line that are sick and have pain in their body. The Lord heal thee. The Lord send thee help from the sanctuary. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and may he keep you. Amen. Big Joe.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Harris. Again, if you want to give us your contact information one more time. And thank you for tuning in right here on We Talk Radio, the Mind, Body, and Soul show with Big Joe.
Amen.
I am your host,
Amen.
Big Joe. Come on, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Fresh Oil Worship Center, 2638 North Edgewood Terrace, Fort Worth, Texas. Amen. Our conference line that we're on, we have not yet come back into the building, but we will as the Lord leads. Amen. We just don't want to jump the gun in this season. So that number is 712-832-8328. And the passcode is 118-0650. That's 118-0650 #. Amen. You're more than welcome to come on tomorrow. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have morning worship that begins at 11. And we have Wednesday night service that starts at 7. And we have Friday night prayer. And that's at midnight, Friday night. And we have our friends over in Nigeria and in South Africa that comes on the line. Amen. They're the ones that are taking care of our school over there. Amen. Fresh Oil School. We got that established on last year. So we bless the Lord for that. that we were able to send one of our members there to set the school up as well. And we have the pictures every month, and God is really growing that school over there. So we bless the Lord for that. And you're more than welcome to come on the line. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Have a good night, y'all. Be right.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, man.
God bless you, Pastor. Have a good one.
You too.
Listen. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:18, a just man falleth 7 times, but rises back up again. Now, what makes him just? We in the church would call him wicked. If he falls 7 times, 1 time we can understand, twice maybe, but 7 times. Well, what makes him just from the Bible standpoint is that he has enough sense to realize that he can get back up. And not only just get back up, but get back in line. No matter where you've fallen from, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, it's not too late. He is so much in love with you that his mercy endures. His mercy is everlasting. It's not too late. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God is still faithful and he's still just, even when we're unfaithful and when we're not just. He's so faithful and just to forgive you of every single solitary sin. No matter how many promises you've made and broken, no matter how many times you've done it over and over again, I'm a living witness. He will forgive you like he forgave me. He's just waiting on you to confess. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. I'm not going to make you any more promises. You know my heart. I want to do right. Show me how. Take me back. Put me back in line. I love you. Teach me how to walk right. Break every habit. Loose me from every addiction. Come into my life and my heart and live in me and through me. I give you my life for the rest of my life. And just that quickly, you're forgiven. Just that quickly, you're healed. He's your God and you're his child. No condemnation. No condemnation. Don't remember the past sins because he's forgotten. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he that blots out your transgressions. And for mine own sake, I will not remember your sins. If he's forgotten them, then you forgive and forget too. You're healed, you're saved, you're whole. Jesus, come on, Pastor Wyatt.
I fell down, but I got up. I fell down, but I got up. I fell down, but I got up. Cause I found out that a saint is just a sinner who fell down. But it didn't stay there. And everyone lift those hands. The word is so clear. It simply states that if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and would believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.